entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 186.
And it's Tuesday, May 30th, 2017.
We've got a couple good topics for you today, including another lament from Leighton. Jeff and I each have a rant we'd like to participate in. And Leighton is going to expound upon becoming a different man as he moves into the next phase in his life.
Mm-hmm.
What some of the questions he's asking himself, meditating on. He's going to meditate with all of us.
Mm.
And Jeff and I will throw in some advice that we think would be helpful.
Okay.
Next week, of course, would be the first Tuesday of the month, and we'll be back to our regular schedule with Mr. Dave, bringing another weird story from history. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure you guys are as well. We'll do a few more days of the pre-orders, where if you pay $25 for a shirt, you will get it with free shipping inside the United States. So probably Thursday, I'll change that up and then start shipping out those shirts for you. So I think with all that said, and maybe a few things from the weekend. Memorial Day weekend happened. We helped Leighton move, and so we were pretty creative in helping him with that. So, why don't we just start with the weekend?
Okay,
Memorial Day weekend. No one worked on Monday. I was going to, but then I didn't.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Twas a laborious weekend.
What?
Nothing. It's just like a little bit of my rant just flared up. Like a little bit of my lament. Like, just almost
exploded.
Like, almost, like, happened while we're recording this podcast. It almost showed itself evident.
Ooh.
It was insane.
So, the weekend. Basically hung out with friends, had a good time. It was relaxing. It rained one or two of the days.
It wasn't relaxing for me, but maybe for you.
You were super busy. And that's so mostly busy. What I wanted to discuss.
Okay.
You made a big move. This weekend,
yes, I did.
And I helped you with that move.
Yeah, you helped me.
And so did Jeff.
And so did I.
My goodness, it was the biggest bowel movement ever had.
We had to...
They were shoving laxatives down my throat.
Ruben and I had to fold Leighton in half like an accordion, and Kyle actually like sat on his head a little bit and kind of bounced up and down to help
move the digestive system along. It was incredible. No, that wasn't the kind of movement that I had. I had a house movement.
I feel like this is much bigger.
It's huge. Moved like a mattress, a full bed set, a dresser. No, sorry, two dressers. Well, more like a dresser and a nightstand.
A piano.
A bunch of video games.
Yeah, a TV.
Ancient ones.
Ancient. A sound system. A clock.
A lamp. I'm pretty sure there was a lamp in there.
And then a chair some totes.
Yeah.
And totes.
So, Kyle was very helpful in that he brought the PWI shop box truck over to my parents' casa. And then we... unloaded my parents' casa and drove my stuff to me own casa.
It was pretty easy and not too much of a problem getting everything out. The tightest things were your mattress and your bed frame. But in your house, it was a different story.
In my house?
Yeah.
It was a different story.
Your master bedroom is upstairs.
Yes, it is.
And the mattress, which is very flexible and you can squeeze it and bend it,
mm-hmm.
rather easily. That was a chore to get up your stairs, and we did have to bend it, and hopefully it flattened out after it was up there.
It did. I mean, you saw it flattened out.
I was thinking it was set against the wall when we left, but maybe not. But your bed frame was a different story.
Right.
Because that was not so flexible.
The box frame of it.
The box frame.
The box frame was difficult. Nay, impossible. To get up the stairs as it was.
We even thought, someone had the idea, we could maybe get through an upstairs window.
Right. I'm imagining Kyle trying to climb a ladder whilst carrying the box. And it just like flailing everywhere from the wind. And then he's like,
smashing against the wall.
In case you haven't been to Layton's house before, like Layton's upstairs, it is fairly smallish.
Yeah, it's
but the stairs to get up there is exceptionally, like they're just narrow and really steep. And the doorway to get in there isn't, like, I don't even think it's a normal size door. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a normal height of door, but
I don't think so, because I feel like I would have could have hit my head on it.
Yeah, but the stairs goes up right away, and so in order to get through there, like the box spring or the box would fit through the door, no problem. But it had to turn upwards right away, and it kind of got pinched in there, and it just wouldn't go.
Mm. So we were debating about what to do. How are we going to accomplish this? And so, I think Jeffy, you looked up something on YouTube, right?
Yeah. And they actually mentioned ripping it apart.
Ripping it.
Yeah, tearing it apart. And we were pretty elated at this idea.
Yeah, we didn't like that.
But it ended up being much easier than we thought. Yeah.
Oh, much.
Because we just took it out in the front yard and set it on fire. Bought you a new one.
Thanks, guys.
No, basically we just cut it in half, folded it, held it between our arms, and just walked up the stairs, no problemo.
Yep.
It was
pretty easy.
It was pretty easy. And I was amazed at how little work it'll take to put it back together then. Like, it's just a couple of splice boards, a stapler, good to go. And by the way, Jeff, could I borrow your stapler from work?
Probably.
I need it.
I don't know if it would
work. To put my box.
I don't think it would work for that.
Set back.
Because I don't think it would fold over backwards. Maybe it would.
Go ahead. Oh, it doesn't? I'll ask Kendra.
We have a bigger one at work somewhere that's made for that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I also somehow managed to fracture a toe at Layton's house.
Yeah, it's...
Is it confirmed fractured?
Take your sock off. I want
to
see this.
It's better now, but it's like super difficult to
Did you have sandals on when we were doing that?
Yes.
Okay, that's another reason. I just don't wear sandals. It's too dangerous.
And you can't really tell that much, but you can see here, right there, it's like kind of swollen.
Yeah, and I don't want to touch it, but
let me see it. The pain has subsided somewhat, actually quite a bit.
It looks pretty normal to me, Jeff.
Which toe is it?
It's right here.
It's not your big toe.
It's the second one.
Let me see your other one. You need to compare the two.
Yeah, so you can see there's a bit of puffiness.
A difference.
So it's like it's not very bad, and it will heal itself.
But it's bad enough.
At the first knuckle, you can see it. There is more girth to it.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Are we finished talking about Memorial Day weekend?
Yes.
But by the way, Kyle invited us over. We had a good time. Watched an old classic movie, North by Northwest.
Which I wasn't able to finish because I was so tired.
Yeah.
From having such a hard working weekend.
It was. It's a long movie. 2 hours. But it's good.
2 hours is a normal length movie, Ruben.
Well, for old movies, they play a little bit slower.
Yeah, they do.
And so it takes a bit longer.
It's a Alfred Hitchcock movie starring Cary Grant.
And Audrey Hepburn.
Was it
Audrey Hepburn? I don't know.
Let me quickly IMDb this.
But it was quite good. I thought so. It's rated 8.4 on IMDb. So, pretty good.
Hey, Jeffy, I want to get to something we talked last week. Your pillow that you bought, how has that been treating you?
Yes, so I actually really enjoy this pillow. I think my biggest likes about it are, A, it's very firm. I like firm pillows. And B, you can adjust the height.
Okay, so when you filled it up, how thick was it?
About this thick, maybe 4.5 inches.
And it doesn't, when you're resting on it, it just goes down maybe an inch?
Barely an inch, maybe a half an inch.
I should give it a try.
Yeah, it feels like pretty much the same firmness as a moderately firm bed.
Now, I enjoy sleeping on my side.
Yeah, I do
so,
too.
So, and it works fine for sleeping on your side?
Yeah, actually, it's better for sleeping on your side. I don't know if I would use it if I was a back sleeper, just because of how firm it is. It actually, like, pushes your head up a bit.
Okay.
I was totally wrong. Audrey Hepburn does not play in North by Northwest.
All right, thank you for
that
update.
I think we discussed another movie that did star her as well.
And Jeff, what was the name of that pillow in case someone...
Purple pillow.
The purple pillow.
Okay. And they do make mattresses of the same material, but they're quite pricey.
No, I was just thinking of that rhyme. I never hope to see a purple cow, but if I ever see one, I'd rather see one than be one. Something from my childhood.
Hmm.
Ruben,
you had an odd childhood.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you could do that with a lot of things, like...
Well, that's why I thought
I hope I never happen to see a purple...
Penguin?
Fish. But I sure hope I never become one. A purple chip.
Purple chip.
Okay, let's... Layton, what's been your lament? What's been weighing on you?
Do you... Ruben, I want you to make a statement.
Layton, your shirt is a three-button shirt.
Are you serious? Oh, it didn't work. I'm telling you.
I know.
It's weird, though. Every once in a while, whenever I say, are you serious?
I'm surprised my phone didn't pop up. Are you serious? Wow.
How are you serious?
Serious.
Hey, Siri.
I feel like this is one of those moments like...
There she came up.
Hey. The Lego movie where he's like... Where the guy's like trying to disable the shield and then he can't do it and then the pirate comes up and says, like, be ye disabling of yon shield, and the computer just like does it.
No, yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That was great. That was great. Anyways, my rant, my lament... is about Siri for the iPhone. She is very imposive. I think is what I want. She's not just impulsive. She imposes on my conversation sometimes. For instance, when someone like makes a statement that is difficult to believe, sometimes I validate it by asking the person, are you serious? And sometimes she will turn on, she will activate, and then she'll ask,
I'm not sure I understand.
And she says that quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this would happen probably more likely outside or in a noisier environment.
It could be.
Like in this room.
I think everyone's had it happen. It is so frustrating, especially when you try to use her.
Right.
And she doesn't respond.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this weird thing when I leave the shop, when I am just turning onto 19 to leave work, I will think, hey, I need to call someone. There was someone I needed to contact as soon as I got off of work. And so I hold down the button and then I'll ask her, hey, Siri, call Jeff Miller. She's so dumb. But lots of times she'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Or, like, I can't answer your question right now because she doesn't have internet.
What's been really frustrating me about Siri recently is that often I'll be listening to a podcast, and then I want to send someone a text message or make a phone call or maybe look up a location. And so while the podcast is playing, I'll go and hold down the Siri button, and the podcast will immediately stop, and then Siri will pop up. And you don't you can hold down the Siri button and then start talking to it. You don't need to wait. I don't have it set up where it asks me what I want. I just hold it down.
Just hold it down
and
start
appears
talking.
On the screen. I start talking. Well, I'll start talking and saying, "Hey, call Layton," or "What's the weather going to be like today?" or whatever. And it will include my request after it includes the last two words of what was playing on the podcast, because it's listening the whole time.
Yeah.
And so
it is?
Yes. It picks up the last few words of my podcast, and then my question is picked up. And so it'll have no clue what I'm talking about, because it'll totally throw off whatever my request was.
Does it? So if she's listening the whole time, I wonder, like, if you would say,
she's
like,
heard everything you and Carrie have discussed, yes.
No, I'm not talking about that.
That's not where you're going. Okay.
I wasn't going there. I was saying, like, if you would say, hey, Siri, does it pick up the, like, the first couple letters or first couple words that you said right before you said, hey, Siri?
I'm pretty sure I've done that. And just for checking it out, let's just go ahead and give it. Let's give it a try.
I don't think it would. Next question.
Hey,
Stan,
that's not what you want to hear. Well, it would be nice to still be employed by the Lakers. He's not even employed by the Lakers, so it's really not a good situation for him. Hey, Siri. Now, she doesn't even listen to me at all anymore.
Yeah.
Now we're listening to a podcast.
I feel like if you're holding down the button without saying, hey, Siri, then it would.
It shouldn't, though.
It would pick up a little bit before. But, like when it's constantly listening, it's listening for those keywords. Hey Siri, hey Google, okay Google, whatever it is. Yeah, there goes my phone. And once it picks up those keywords, then it knows that whatever's after that, it shouldn't pick up something before that, because it's listening for those hot words. But whereas if you just do the voice command, then it might.
I agree, but it should stop as soon as I press and hold it, and it stops playing. It should only from that point,
right?
I take into account what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a little lagged or something like that. I feel like Google Assistant has some of these same issues, in that, you know, it'll be activated accidentally or something like that. But it is better at voice recognition.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because I use it on Google Chrome, which I'm guessing would have the same kind of engine that's powering
it.
Yeah,
it's the same engine powering it.
All right, were you done, Leighton, lamenting?
Yeah, I guess my lament is just a plea to Apple to please, please improve Siri. Also, one suggestion I think would be really good is if you could have her manipulate settings for you. Like, hey, Siri, turn on Wi-Fi.
Okay, I turned on Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know she did that.
I didn't know that
either. Google Assistant does those things as well, I think.
Turn on the Wi-Fi on and off. I remember when the Google Assistant was still in development.
Yeah.
And you could say, turn on Wi-Fi, and it would say back, I can't manipulate settings right now.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
In 15 minutes, check back, and maybe by then I'll be able to do it.
Speaking of that, though, Google Home is coming out with some pretty cool features later this summer that will put it ahead of Alexa, because that's the big toss-up has been between Amazon Alexa and Google Home. And Google Home is adding free domestic phone calls to any phone number in the U.S., and it will show up on their caller ID as your phone number. So you link your personal phone number to your Google account, and you can say, just talk to your Google Home, say, okay, Google, call so-and-so, and then it will it'll call them, and you can talk to them through your home, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty neat. Okay, you're done with that. Let's talk about, Jeffy, you had a little rant.
Yeah, so I had two things happen. This happened in pairs. It's another pairs thing.
Pairs happening,
Batman.
Batman.
And they happened two times in a row. And it happened while I was driving. Okay? It happened at the same place. And
at the same time?
Not at the same time, but both, like the last time that I was there, it happened today. And the last time that I was in that exact place, it happened again, like the time before that. So it happened twice. When I was driving up, well, I'll just say what it is, coming north on 19, across the railroad tracks, up to the light in the middle of Napanee. You stop at the light, and this happened after I left Layton's house yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
and I drive up, whatever, the light turns green, I go, and then there is a car that's in the turning lane to turn left, mm-hmm. except this car goes straight and almost sideswipes me. Like, I was, like, super freaked out. What is this car doing in the turning, in the left yeah. turning lane, and just, like, cruising right over, right in front of me, just, like, I had to brake so that they would not hit me.
Did you give them a friendly honk?
I didn't.
You need to honk so they know they made a mistake.
I was too shocked to know what to do.
You were flabbergasted.
I was flabbergasted. So, then that happened. I was like, what in the world? Today. And probably almost the same time. Not right. quite. Maybe a few hours later in the day. I go, and I pull up here to the light. And there's a semi turning left. Mm-hmm. And he runs the red light. Mm-hmm. I have never seen that happen before. The light was totally red. He was stopped. The other oncoming traffic got the green light to go, and he just took off.
What?
Really weird. So
normally, semi drivers don't do that for risk of losing their CDLs.
Yeah, he could totally lose his CDLs, or at least get a suspension or heavy fine or something like that. And then, so then I am like following the traffic. Most of the cars turn right, and then I go straight. And there's a semi beside me that decides to go straight as well. And he's in the left turning lane. And he just... And I was just like, what in the world? And I just honked at him this time.
That is so weird because I've gone through there probably thousands of times, as you have too. And I don't ever remember having that happen.
Yeah, it never happened to me before. But 2 days in a row, exact same place. And like, I went up to it. This happened, and then the very next time I was at that intersection in that place, it happened again.
Well, what I've learned, Jeff, is that once you acknowledge that it's a weird thing happening in pairs, usually it won't happen after that.
Well, that's good.
So you can rest easy.
It could happen even like 3 times, but after you acknowledge it, then it usually doesn't happen after that.
That's very good, because I really don't want to get sideswiped.
Okay, guys, we're going to change directions here a little bit. I had been talking with Courtney Hostetler about joining the podcast tonight. He's on a hiking trip doing the Appalachian Trail, and he has a website set up where he blogs about every other day or so, has pictures on there, and just kind of goes through his journey of his hiking the Appalachian Trail. And it's around 2,000 miles. It's insane. They're about halfway now, and we were having a little bit of trouble connecting. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to do it tonight or not, which is why we didn't mention anything at the beginning of the episode. But we just got off the phone with him, and we talked with him, and so we have that portion of the podcast coming up for you. All right, guys, we're joined by Courtney Hostetler, and Courtney is a traveler of the world right now.
The mountain man.
And he has a website, mountainmanwhoscripts.com. Go ahead and check that out. Courtney, why don't you introduce yourself, your elevator speech about what you're doing. And you have been on the podcast before. It's been a few years ago, but you were also a chief at Bald Eagle Boys Camp. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing right now?
Absolutely. Well, currently I am at Hogback Overlook in the Shenandoah National Park. Now, that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but it's located on the Appalachian Trail. I'm not even sure what mile I'm at right now, but over 950, right around mile 950. And I've been hiking for the last month and a half. Since April 9th, whenever that was. So I've been hiking since then, and plan going all the way up to Katahdin in Maine, Mount Katahdin. It'll be a total of about 2,189 miles.
Wow. So you're getting close to halfway.
Yeah, that's right. We actually plan to be hitting the halfway point by this weekend. We are crushing it, me and Weston. My brother joined me for a section. So right now it's pretty easy terrain. We've been doing over 30 miles a day for the past three days.
That's
and
quite a bit.
It hasn't been too bad. So.
Okay, I know I read your different posts, and I actually went through. I hadn't read them all, and so I just went through from the beginning and read through it. And it reads kind of like a story. So if anyone is interested in kind of a daily or almost daily vlog of what it is like and some things you might face if you ever do some major long-distance, long-term hiking, do check out the website, mountainmanwhoscripts.com. And you really need to start at the beginning because you get a good, you get a much better idea of what it's like. Because when you say that you're going 30 miles a day right now, you were not doing that at the beginning. And so someone might think, oh, it's a piece of cake. Well, it's not.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're exactly right. No, the first couple of days, my legs were screaming at me. But I think, you know, and that was only after like 13 miles or something, or 12. But I think, you know, what I've been discovering here on the trail is that hiking really accelerates the natural evolution of man. I think I'm starting to develop that third calf or something that some people have. It's, you know, definitely helping just that extra calf that, you know, is propelling us forward. So it's great.
That's good.
I have a couple questions for you, Courtney, and then if you have something in particular, either a story or a lesson or something, then you can definitely do that as well. But one of the questions I have is that I know from your blog you mentioned that your trail name is Highlander. Can you tell us a little bit about what is the purpose of a trail name?
Absolutely. So on the trail, I mean, there's just so many people. And when you have a trail name, it helps to distinguish you because it's kind of a unique moniker for you. My brother's name is First Half, and that's because he got that because, well, people started finding out that he was a twin and he was the firstborn of him and his twin. And then also he's doing about a half of the trail with me, but not the last half. So people call him First Half. And so any other Weston out there, you know, there could be a bunch of Westons, but there's only one First Half. And just like for me, you know,
okay, guys, we're going to change directions here a little bit. I had been talking with Courtney Hostetler about joining the podcast tonight. He's on a hiking trip through the Appalachian Trail, and he has a website set up where he blogs about every other day or so, has pictures on there, and just kind of goes through his journey.
What's the main purpose of
his hiking the Appalachian Trail? It's around 2,000 miles. It's insane. They're about halfway now, and we were having a little bit of trouble connecting. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to do it tonight or not, which is why we didn't mention anything at the beginning of the episode, but we just got off the phone with him.
I know that you started out,
so we have the first part of the portion of the podcast coming up, Dad, and then you were alone for, I don't know if it was a couple weeks or if it was less than that, but now your brother's with you as well. But what are some of the differences between going solo or having someone with you?
Yeah, good question. I think the biggest difference for me is just the mentality. It's like when there's another person with me, it feels like we're doing it together, and so there's more of like a synergistic effect, which is weird because, you know, we're each carrying our own, you know, our own packs. We're not necessarily sharing a tent or sharing stove, so we have the same amount of weight. But just as you're walking, you know that another person is behind you, and your pace affects them, you know, just as much as it affects you. And so you want to help them get to campsite and get to bed in good time. And so you kind of try to be more steady. Now, what I found when I hiked by myself, I would tend to kind of hike really fast and take a break and then you know, hike again pretty fast and take a break, and then I got a lot more worn out by the end of the day, and I had made the same miles.
So would you definitely say it's important if someone would be considering doing a long distance hike like this, would you say definitely don't do it alone? If it's possible, get someone to go along.
I would start with someone else if you haven't done much hiking before. The camaraderie just helps, you know, you can encourage each other. If one of you kind of is feeling like quitting, the other guy can say, well, hopefully, he'll say, you know, we can do this. If you have been hiking for a while, like I'll be doing the last 5 weeks or something by myself, I'm fairly confident I've gotten in the groove enough that I'll be able to do all right. But definitely starting out is a huge help.
Okay, I've got two more questions, and then I know just from reading your blog post, there's a couple stories there that I might just ask you to tell the listeners. But sure. One of my last questions is the trail marked clearly? Because I'd be a little worried about getting off the trail and not being able to find it again and spend several months going in circles in the wilderness.
Yeah, great question. It's kind of funny. Each state seems to have a different system of how they do things. How the trail is maintained, how like the shelters, and even things. Okay, here's a little side story. So you have these outdoor privies at the shelters, a lot of them, and different states will have completely different advice. Some of them say, don't pee in the privy because it makes it stink worse and it can drown the good bacteria. And others say, please, urinate because the moisture helps the bacteria. And then others, say, we don't really care. We just have a giant pit and it doesn't compost at all. So just throw everything in there. And so each state definitely has its own unique system. Right now we're in Virginia and they do a really good job marking the trails. There were some times in Georgia, like when we first started out, or in the Smokies, where I was like, where do I go? And I had to backtrack a little bit just to make sure that I was actually on the right trail.
That's good. That is weird about maybe the science isn't clear yet as far as effects urine has on decaying matter.
Yeah, no, it seems very murky, just the whole science of it. Yeah. I mean, you just look at it. That's all you can do, really, is look at it.
All right, then my final question. I know that each day is different. You might be hiking different terrain, going different distances, but on average, how many calories do you burn? Because I just from reading it, I know that you guys eat Twinkies and cookies and lots of protein too, but I know you guys really carb up when possible. So how many calories do you think you burn?
Carbs, man. Oh my goodness. Well, let me just tell you what are some of those fad diets? It's just there's all these, the Atkins and the like a Jenny Craig or something. I don't know.
There's the Nutrisystem.
Weight Watchers. I tell you what, you will watch your weight disappear when you are out here on the trail. You can eat. This is like the eat whatever you want and as much as you want and still lose weight diet. Probably burning upwards of 4,500 to 5,000 calories a day at least.
Wow.
And it's just hard. It's just hard to eat enough. So we have to tank up when we go to town. Our newest tradition is buying a jug of milk and chugging that because it's like $3 for, I don't know, like 2,000 something calories or something. I'm not sure, but it's pretty awesome. And, full of deliciousness and proteins and good stuff. So, yeah, it's very important, though, that you have the right kind of food. Like, fatty foods are the best because per gram, fat has 9 calories, whereas carbs and protein only have 4 calories per gram. So the fattier a food, the more calorie efficient for the weight it is.
Okay. I'm jealous. It sounds like so much fun. I know it's also awful in many ways. There's a lot of challenges, and it's not fun in games. But I am jealous of the experiences that you're going through and putting yourself in. Was there any story or something in particular that you'd wanted to talk about or share?
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. None are just coming to mind right off the bat. I don't know if you had, the days are tending to run together.
Yeah.
Maybe a cool story of something good that happened was just on Sunday, no, Saturday. We had gotten soaked in a storm, and we had to go to this motel to pick up a resupply box. And, we were a little bit discouraged. It was the end of the day. Still had a couple miles to go after our resupply, and we knew we were going to be just blasted heavy and it's going to be ridiculous. Because after a resupply, you gain like 15, you know, 12 to 15 pounds in your pack. It's insane. Anyway, so we got there to the motel, picked up our resupply, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to ask her how much a room is. So I asked the receptionist there, I was like, how much is it for a room? And it was like, it wasn't bad. It's like 60 or 70 bucks, but it was more than I wanted to spend since it was already getting late and we wouldn't have that much time to enjoy it. I was like, well, yeah. And I think it's a little bit more than I want to spend. I said, well, what would you think they'd be okay, the manager would be okay with if we just tent in the front yard here for like 10 bucks or something? She said, well, let me call him. So she called him and I went outside and kind of sat there forlornly. And wouldn't you know it, 3 minutes later, she comes out and was like, hey, you know, the manager said you guys can just have a room and you can have it for 10 bucks. And it was quite a blessing. Cool. And so it was so cool. I tell you what, the people out here really do take care of the hiker community in general. So it's been pretty neat just seeing how people, you know, take care of each other. So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. One thing that I love just reading through it was the different trail angels, I think is what you referred to them as.
Mm, yes, yes.
And just along the trail. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is it? Because you mentioned it, you didn't come right out and say what a trail angel is. So what is a trail angel?
Yeah, trail angel is someone who distributes trail magic. And trail magic is pretty much an unexpected blessing. Maybe it's a Coke, you know, somebody just gives you a Coke or food or something. And so, yeah, different trail angels. We had some Catholic priest person give us, he wasn't the priest. If you read my blog, I have some about the priest. This wasn't the one that we did penance to. That was a mountain called the priest. But this particular priest, you know, he blessed us with banana bread and brownies and lemonade and different things. And there were these awesome people. They called themselves the Omelet Angels. Unreal, dude. It was like a gourmet setup, food setup, right off the trail, just under a few tents. And you got there, they waved you over, like, come on over. And they gave you a legit menu that you could select what you wanted. This was for breakfast. And you got to make your own, like, gourmet omelet, and they fried it right in front of your eyes.
Unbelievable.
And it was just like, wow, whoa, it was far out, dude. So, yeah, big and small, you know, trail magic comes in all shapes and sizes. But a trail angel is pretty much a general term given to someone who distributes trail magic, who does nice things for hikers. So
that's incredible. Is this the first long distance hike that you've been on?
I would say, well, it depends what you mean by long distance. When I was at camp, when I was a chief, we did a couple hikes. One was 42 miles and one was 64, I think, miles. So, you know, those were like seven, eight day trips. So, you know, we were out for a week or so, but it wasn't major.
Okay.
This is the first really long distance something that I've done.
Again, I want to mention something over on the website. If you go over to mountainmanuscripts.com, there's a page for gear, and then Courtney has written out different things like shelter, packs, cooking stuff, water, suggestions for clothes. It's really detailed and in-depth. Is there anything that someone might need to consider if they are thinking about hiking?
I think I have a pretty good list. That's my list in particular of what I'm using. One thing you really want to take into account is what weather you'll be hiking in. Like, if it's going to be pretty warm, like especially at night, like in the 60s, 50s, 60s, if you expect it to be, you could save yourself a pound of weight by getting a 40-degree sleeping bag as opposed to like what I have, which is a 20-degree sleeping bag.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you just got to figure in what kind of temperature you're going to be hiking at night. I'm kind of thinking about that, maybe upgrading or downgrading, however you want to say it, to a lighter sleeping bag just to shave off some weight. But yeah, my strategy is to go as minimal as possible, while still having, you know, being comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would love to have you back on the podcast again here in a few weeks. Would you be into it?
Absolutely. I would love maybe, you know, calling up in the White Mountains or something after I've done Mount Washington or, you know, something like that. That would be Mahoosuc Notch. There's crazy stuff coming up. So I would absolutely love to be back on the show, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, thank you. And again, I think I said at the beginning that it reads like a daily vlog. What I meant is that the blog post, it reads almost like a story, which is why it's important to start at the beginning, because it is truly a journey, and things, your expectations or what you expect as normal totally change as time goes on. So keep on posting those, and the pictures are terrific too, really interesting.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you again so much, and maybe just the last closing comment. You know, sometimes you're out in life, and, you know, like right now, it's kind of raining on me as I speak, and Laura Story might say that blessings come, you know, through raindrops, but it just feels really wet to me. So sometimes it's hard to, you know, see the good in what's going on, but at the end of it, you know, I think you'll be a better person just in your mental toughness, and like you said, the journey is what is really the blessing, not so much the end result. So. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Hey, yeah, thanks again, Courtney, and definitely, yeah, wish you the best and praying for your safety out there.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys, and yeah, look forward to being on the show again in a couple weeks.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, we are back. At least two of us are back.
Yeah.
Layton had to take off. He had a meeting tonight. And so we didn't quite get to... there was a couple things that we have on the table for next week, which we'll get to. And we need to do what did we learn.
Oh, yes.
And then I think we're ready to wrap it up then.
Hey, I would encourage you listeners out there. We like going on rants. It's a lot of fun for us. And I think you guys would enjoy it as well. So if you have a rant that you would like to do, you could call in and go off on your rant with us, or you could, you know, record it or just send us a message somehow, Facebook, email, however, and we would definitely be glad to share that. So,
and keep in mind, even if you, let's say you go to the effort of recording something, then you listen back to it, then you think, this is just kind of dumb. We will vet your recording, and if we don't think that it is if we think it looks dumb or not looks, but if it sounds dumb, we won't put it on the podcast.
Which is why we haven't put any on so far.
We haven't. Just kidding. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure it will be. But I'm trying to invoke confidence in yourself that if we think it makes you look foolish, we won't put it on the podcast.
I think there's a 98.5% chance that it will be fine.
Yeah. Okay. What did we learn today?
I learned about trail angels.
Thank you, Jeff, for stealing. What did I learn?
I learned
that you doing something, if you walk trails, you can get up to walking 30 miles per day, even though when you start you might only be at, you know, 5 to 8 miles. You can get up to where 30 miles per day is doable, which sounds insane.
That's pretty impressive.
This is not walking on the road either, by the way.
I thought that like 20 miles was like a good average day.
And when you read his blog post, they talk about achieving the 20-mile day. They talk about achieving mm-hmm. that. And then here they are going 30 miles.
Yeah.
Insane. One other thing I wanted to share with you guys before we wrap this up is just an appreciation for you guys clicking on that Amazon link. I have some numbers for you that they're not outrageously numbers by any means, but I'm very pleased with the results and grateful for the effort that you take to clicking on that Amazon link before you buy stuff for yourself.
Awesome.
So just wanted to read off some numbers. In January, we made about $30. In February, we made about $10. In March, we made a little over 63, and then in April, a little over 26.
Okay.
So it's not
very good.
But this helps pay for things like
yeah.
cables, that extra cables that we mm-hmm. need, or to make some improvements to or the
better,
website.
Yeah, better recording equipment.
Just, yeah. Every little penny that you spend on Amazon through our link, it helps.
You know, and it might even help with that 200th episode coming up.
It definitely could change the outcome for that.
Yeah.
So the link is over on our website on the homepage. There's a little smiley face, and there's a button where it says Shop on Amazon. If you click on that and do your shopping, you'll be helping us out bigly. So thank you guys for listening, and until we meet again, be safe.